We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Today we're going to take a trip into the backfield and talk to sophomore Blake Corum, what he saw this spring, what he learned last year, and what his expectations are going into this 2021 football season. We'll talk to Blake in just a few minutes, as well as the 7 from 77 here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
The mindset I feel like we have, and we have to have going into this season, that no one can stop us. Only people that can stop us is ourselves, and we're not going to let that happen. I feel like that's the mindset, and that's the expectation, is just win.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends. And as I mentioned in the open, we're going to be joined by sophomore running back Blake Corum in just a few minutes. I'm excited to sit down and talk to him, and for you as a listener to hear from him as well. We do want to mention we started last week going through our schedule, giving a little preview, and we talked about Western Michigan last week. Because we were able to get Blake Corum, we're going to put the Washington Husky preview on the back burner. We'll get to that next week with play-by-play voice and a voice you are probably familiar with if you follow along with Michigan football over the past decade, Tony Castricone, who obviously works for Learfield IMG. He is their play-by-play voice. Previously worked with us on the Michigan broadcast. So excited to talk to Tony Castricone about the Washington Huskies and get a little preview of what they will bring to the Big House come September the 11th, I believe it is. If you are looking for some more information on all things Michigan athletics, I remind you every week, and I'm going to remind you again, Conquering Heroes covers everything Michigan athletics. We had the rowing head coach, Mark Rothstein, as they prepare for Big Ten Championship weekend this weekend in Indianapolis. Gives us a little bit of a breakdown of how their season went, some of the challenges that they had throughout last year, throughout the season, and their expectations going into Big Ten Championships as well as NCAAs at the end of the month. Defend the Block with Mr. Brian Bush, who's going to join us in just a minute. Carrie Moore, new women's basketball assistant coach, joined him along with former Wolverine now, CJ Baird. So if you got a chance, listen to Defend the Block with Brian Bush, Conquering Heroes. We've got a lot of great information all over covering Michigan athletics. But I do want to bring in my partner now, Brian Bush, the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball. You can hear him every week with me here on In the Trenches. And Mr. Bush, how are you?
I'm great, John. It was a fun Defend the Block. Carrie Moore, a Michigan woman coming back to the state, had a great career at Western Michigan, was most recently at North Carolina, and then CJ Baird. I mean, what a legend. Love that guy. We talked about his 2018 triple against Texas A&M in the Sweet 16. His recollection of that was pretty cool, among the other things we talked about. So definitely encourage people to check that out.
Sounds good. Good times, Michigan basketball. Obviously, on continuing to rise with Juwan Howard and with the signing class coming in, with you know, some guys coming back, some guys moving on. We're excited about the NBA draft. We're going to have a number of individuals that we'll keep an eye on heading into that. But this is In the Trenches. We're talking Michigan football. So let's get to our 7 from 77.
Yeah, John, let's do it. And you talk about some changes. It was a busy week for Michigan football. Mo Linguist leaving his position as the defensive backs coach, co-defensive coordinator. He takes the head coaching position at Buffalo after Lance Leipold left for Kansas. John, you had a chance to chat with Coach Linguist on this podcast a few months back and a few other times off the air. Clearly, he's made an impact in the coaching ranks to make this climb to a head coaching position. What is Michigan losing with his departure?
Well, they're losing a great coach, you know, and in the college ranks, that means a great recruiter. He had a lot of ties, obviously, coming from the Dallas Cowboys and his time. I know it was brief, but his time in Texas. So you lose the relationships that he's been able to build over the last 4 years or 4 months, and you lose a terrific coach. But there's no surprise that he was picked up by the University of Buffalo. When I got done talking to him for the interview of the podcast, and I've had a chance to talk to him a couple of times, each time I've walked away, I've talked to my wife and I said, hey, this guy is going to be a head coach. He just has that charisma. He's got that it factor in terms of just people are attracted to him and they want to play for him. They want to be around him, which is obviously why Jim Harbaugh brought him to Michigan. He gets an opportunity, which I think is a great opportunity. Lance Leipold goes to Kansas. He has built a tremendous program at the University of Buffalo there in the MAC. It is built to win. And, you know, Mo is going to get a chance to go into a program that he's familiar with. He's been there before. It's ready built. And I honestly, not that, you know, he needed one to be ready built, but he is going to be there, I think, for 2, 3, 4 years. And at some point in that time, we're going to see him in the Power Five because he is that good of a coach. He is that good of a recruiter. And I think he's going to show his leadership qualities and his ability to lead a program there at the University of Buffalo.
It's amazing how it's all intertwined because Buffalo has become a really good athletic program. It was not the case 20 years ago. And remember, that's Ward Manuel who kind of started it all. Then he went to UConn, then came to Michigan. And yeah, I mean, Buffalo, that's on the short list of MAC schools. That's a real sleeping giant, or at least maybe starting to really awaken giant amongst the group of five. So number 2 on our 7 from 77. At this moment, as we record this, there hasn't been a replacement officially confirmed by the program, but there are plenty of reports out there that Kentucky Steve Klinkscale will take over Linguist's spot as the defensive backs coach. If this is indeed the case, what do you think of that potential addition?
I think this is a great addition, and it shows that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh has great pull. People want to come coach for him. They want to be a part of the Michigan program. He's done a great job most recently at the University of Kentucky. We know what he did at the University of Cincinnati. He had great a resume builder there. Went to the University of Kentucky. He's put guys in the NFL in the first couple of rounds. He has been a part of a defense, especially, you know, when you talk about defending the pass, which is where Michigan struggled a little bit last year. He has had very successful defenses and coaching the secondary in the SEC. To get him to come to the University of Michigan was very telling in regards to the fact that people still want to coach at Michigan. People still believe in the Block M and what Michigan is and will be. But I think one of his biggest assets, when we talk about Mo Linguist leaving and what it means for him to leave, it was his ability to attract recruits. Now you bring in Klinkscale, and he has that same ability, just in a little bit of a different region. But I think even more importantly, he has pulled a number of players out of the state of Michigan to go to Kentucky. He has pulled a number of players out of the Midwest to go to Kentucky. He has great inroads with high school coaches in the state of Michigan, in the state of Ohio, in Pennsylvania. He's done a great job of recruiting the North, you know, the upper Midwest. So I think bringing him in, again, it signals to the recruits that had already committed, hey, You know what? We've got a guy that can coach you and develop you into being the top talent in the country. We've got a guy that has proven that he's developed that talent into being drafted in the NFL. Now he gets the chance to do it in the Big Ten. He gets the chance to do it at Michigan, and I'm really excited for that to be made official.
Number three, kind of along those lines, listen, Michigan is still a big-time draw, but I don't care what the position is. This time of year, it is difficult to get anybody because spring ball is done. You're really ramping up for the season. So how challenging is it to have a shuffle in May? And what does that say if indeed this all gets done like we expect it to and Steve Klinkscale kind of rebuts that and says, yes, in May I'm willing to make that jump?
Well, it's a really hard time of the year to try and put together a staff and or to replace somebody on your staff because everybody's already gone through spring ball. They've already gone through a recruiting cycle. And right now it's trying to pull a guy away from, hey, I don't know what I'm going to in regards to, hey, what's in the secondary? What is on this team? I didn't get a chance to build those relationships over spring ball. Now I've got to do it over summer when I don't get a chance to get on field and coach these guys. It's a huge challenge for whoever is coming in, but it was a bigger challenge for Jim Harbaugh. And it all started with, obviously, when Les Miles was relieved of duty out there in Kansas. Lance Leopold goes from Buffalo to Kansas, and then Mo Linguist goes from Michigan to the head coaching position there. And that's how the dominoes all started and how they've fallen. And right now, to be able to pull a coach who is a tremendous recruiter, a tremendous guy, a tremendous coach in developing talent in May, that is a big pull, and it just shows what Michigan is able to still do.
Number four on today's 7 from 77. Anytime there is any sort of news or coaching change or, heck, rumor, whatever it might be, good, bad, or indifferent, when you're in the situation Michigan is in, it is Jim Harbaugh is brought up, the program status as a whole is brought up. How do you interpret what happened over the last 7 days, Linguist leaving, Klinkscale, by all reports, coming in, and just the fact that this entire coaching staff has basically had an overhaul? How do you interpret that in the grand scheme of the program? Is it good, bad, the same? How do you look at it?
It's good because you know that Michigan has coaches that are coveted. And Mo was only here for 4 months, but Jim was able to go out and hire a coach that he knew other programs wanted. He knew that you know, Mo Linguist had a chance in the future to be a head coach. All of a sudden, opportunity presents itself, and we're very excited for him and the opportunity it presents for himself, what it presents to the University of Buffalo, and also what it means for Michigan that, hey, you still can attract top talent, and they're going to come to Michigan because they understand the type of athlete that you can recruit here, the type of athlete that that you want to try and develop here. And then when they move on and you're able to still go and get a coach that is highly sought after. Klinkscale is a coach that other programs coveted this offseason. They approached him. They went to Kentucky to see if they could draw him away. They weren't able to. And in May, Michigan and Jim Harbaugh was able to get that done. So it signals to me, I know a lot of people said, hey, you know, we've had a lot of transfers. We've had coaches leave. Jim has overhauled the coaching staff. But what he has done is brought in guys. And you and I have talked about this. Michigan has to be able to recruit within their footprint. That's Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania. So what did they do? They went and got Ron Bellamy, who just won a state championship here in the state of Michigan at West Bloomfield, has great relationships with head coaches here. They went and got one of the top recruiters in the country and a great Michigan man in Mike Hart to develop the running backs already on the roster. But again, to recruit Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, they go and they get Klinkscale, who is a great recruiter at Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Those are the states that Michigan has to be able to draw the top talent from. And it's exciting to see that they are starting to get that done. The commitments that are coming in, it's an exciting time to watch this program go from where they've been over the last 2 or 3 years. And I know that it was only 2 wins last year. It was unique, and there's no excuses because everybody was going through the same thing. But to watch this, the overhaul of the coaching staff, watch what they can do and develop the talent that's already on the roster, plus the talent they're bringing in, I'm excited for Michigan football.
Yeah, I mean, there was a clear change of approach of how they were looking at their assistants, how they wanted to recruit. And in that mode, you're going to lose people. And Michigan was able to bring in, attract somebody who fit that mold. They did it quickly, and they got one of the top potential targets out there. So, yeah, I'm in full agreement on that. Transitioning a little bit here on number 5. John, we've discussed the college football playoff on this podcast plenty of times, but in recent weeks, reports have certainly swirled more and more, some brought upon by the committee itself, saying that they are starting conversations around potential models for as few as 6 teams. Well, really, as few as 4. They're saying 4 could still be a thing. But in terms of expansion, as few as 6, as many as 16. Where do you stand on this right now, and what likelihood do you give expansion by, say, 5 years from now when that college football playoff contract ends?
I think it's highly likely, and I'm not going to say there's a guarantee, but if I was a betting man, I'd bet that we are going to expand the college football playoffs. And it's not that I'm not a, and everybody that knows me, I'm not a gold star for everybody that plays type of guy. But when you have a Power 5 conference, and it's the Pac-12 right now, that has not been able to participate in the college football playoffs for a number of years, you are eliminating football fans in the college football playoffs from you know, a third of the country. And now you've got to try and draw those fans back in. You want to create that excitement. I was out at the national championship game between Alabama and Clemson that was held at Levi Stadium in San Francisco. And it was fun. It was exciting. The atmosphere was great, but there was no local draw to it. And it's not that a Pac-12 team has to be in the national championship game, but I do think that there needs to be a better system to include more of the Power 5 conferences, if not all. And you're going to see a rise in the level of play in those conferences, because kids being recruited want to go where they know they have a chance to compete for a championship. And if they're continually eliminated and not even in the college football playoffs as a conference, it makes that conference struggle. And so I think we're going to a minimum of 6, as you know, you hear here. More likely, I think it's going to be an 8-team playoff. And you're also going to have an inclusion of the power of the group of 5. And there are some teams that have been very good. Do I think they'll be able to compete for a national title? Probably not. But then again, unless you're Alabama or Clemson and the one-off of LSU, nobody else has either.
So I know you've been on 8. As this conversation's gone, I more and more lean 12. And I think for me, 12 is intriguing because it still could preserve some of those monster games late in the season. The Alabama-LSU, Alabama-Auburn, when Michigan and Ohio State played a couple of times, when if there would have been an 8 or a 12-team playoff, that game would have been more for seeding in terms of the playoff committee only than anything else. A 12-team playoff means if you're in the top 4, you get a bye. And then you have a chance to get some at-larges in. I'm curious how it'll go. I think it'll probably end up being 8, 5 conference champs, 2 at-larges, top-ranked group of 5. But to me, 12 is really intriguing because then 2nd-ranked Bama, 4th-ranked Auburn, the final week of the regular season, that still matters even if they both still might make the playoff.
I'm cautious in how I label this. You could say plagued college football, or it has concerned college football fans, coaches, administrators, is the opt-out. The more teams that you include in a college football playoffs, whether it's 6, it's 8, it's 12, you're not going to have teams that are in the college football playoffs lose a lot of guys to opt-outs because they want to play in a championship setting. They want a chance to win a national championship. So now you're going to have more of the top talent getting that extra game, following through on an entire football season, simply because more teams would be involved in the college football playoffs.
And the other thing I think you're going to see, if they do expand the playoffs, certainly if they expand it to 12 and there's a potential for 4 playoff games, that Big Ten Champions Week that we saw last year, I could see that becoming Week 12 or Game 12 for these teams for two reasons. One, you don't want a potential for a 17-game season for some of these teams. And secondly, if you're the Big Ten and you've got your championship game, which is for a bid, you kind of want to make that second place versus second place for a bid, because that adds another really significant notch on the belt of a team's resume.
It does. And it'll be very interesting to see how it all plays out. And I think the number one factor that we haven't mentioned yet is money.
Really?
Six teams, eight teams, 12 teams, 16 teams. It simply means more money for the college football playoffs, for the universities, for the conferences, at a time when, hey, they didn't get full TV revenue. They didn't get ticket sales. This conversation is starting at a time where athletic departments are in need of more money, and in programs are in need of more money. That's what makes the world go round. So for us to sit here and talk about all of the other factors of, yeah, we want more guys to play and we want more opportunity and we want all of these different things, they're great. But what it comes down to is more money for conferences, for networks, for programs. And, you know, let's not forget NIL is going to be a part of this, equation as well. And that's going to play into this eventually.
I think this is going to be as fascinating of a national storyline as realignment was, you know, a dozen years ago. It's going to be really, really interesting. All right, number six. You know, there are college football playoffs that go beyond four teams. They exist at the FCS level. John, Sunday, 2 o'clock, 8-1 South Dakota State, 9-0 Sam Houston State. That was a great game they had last week against James Madison. Who you got? I know you'll be watching.
Yes, it's either the Jackrabbits or the Bearcats. Obviously, the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State, the Bearcats of Sam Houston. And even though South Dakota State had one loss during the regular season, even though they've had a few injuries, they have the running game, they have the passing game. I think that they have a better all-around game. And I'm excited to watch both of these teams. In FCS play, you see a lot of offenses, as you do in FBS. And these two teams have good offenses. But the South Dakota State defense, to me, is what I'm going to be watching. I think they are better prepared for this game. I think they can stop the rushing attack and the passing arsenal that Sam Houston State has. So at 2 o'clock, I will be tuned in, and I'm taking the Jackrabbits.
All right. I do love, by the way, Sam Houston State Bearcats, cats with a K. Very yes. Important there.
Yes.
Number seven, John. Our guest this week is Blake Corum. We've talked a little bit about him throughout the offseason and even last year when he had some playing time. How do you think he can be used? I think it's more so as a weapon, right? Not necessarily a running back completely. I think he can be a guy who can factor into a number of different layers to this offense.
I'm excited about the weapon, and I'm glad you use that term, because he is going to force Josh Gattis to be very creative in the ways that he can be used. Here are a few of the assets that he has. He's strong. He's durable. There's nobody that works harder. We've seen workout videos. I've heard from the coaches. You hear from Ben Herbert. He is a guy that is dedicated to continuing to develop his body in the weight room, and that brings with it a sense of durability in the backfield. So you can hand the ball off to him, and he can be a power runner on the inside. He's not as big as Hassan Haskins. They're kind of a nice 1-2 punch, but he can get to the edge. And the one thing I'm excited about Blake Corum is his breakaway speed. If he gets into the secondary, he's gone. There's not going to be a linebacker. There's not going to be a corner. There's not going to be a safety that runs him down. Once he gets into the open field, he's going to be gone. So how does Josh Gattis get him into the open field? I think this is the definition of speed and space. They can throw him some screen passes. They can, because he's good at catching the ball. They can line him up in the slot. They can put him in motion. They can toss him the ball. They can put him as part of the RPO. I'm really excited about the different ways that he can be used, and he'll only be limited by the creativity of this offensive staff.
John, before we get to that interview, About a decade ago, a little less, there was a product that was created called Sizzling Bacon Candy, which, according to its description, quote, turns your tongue into a frying pan, end quote. How? Well, once you put the bacon in your mouth, it crackles and it sizzles, allegedly, until it dissolves completely. Again, this was back in 2013. Could not find it on a quick glance on like Amazon. The product exists. It just said that the supply was out. But I'm sure if you did some digging, you could find a sizzling bacon candy somewhere on eBay or Craigslist or some depths of the internet that I don't know if my work computer would allow.
Well, there is no surprise that supply would be out because if and everybody knows the candy, the Pop Rocks, right? That my kids love. They put it in their mouth. They walk around with their mouth open and you can hear the snap, crackle, pop. If you could do the same thing with bacon or a bacon flavored candy and have the snap, crackle, pop, and if you could, yes, crapple. If you could do the same thing with the candy and make it bacon flavored and have the snap, crackle, and pop of a bacon flavored candy, again, no surprise that it would be out of stock and back ordered, maybe even for years. I will get on the waiting list and get myself some sizzling bacon candy.
I do wish to take down the fourth wall on this podcast. Obviously, Blake Corum is not waiting for us to finish our bacon fact in order for this interview to take place. It's recorded separately, but could you imagine if we had Blake Corum, Jim Harbaugh, Josh Gattis, and they were sitting there waiting for us to discuss sizzling bacon candy, and then it's like, okay, let's lock in on football now.
I won't even go into the reaction. Some would be good. Some would probably be like, why are you wasting my time? But we do that. And I do, as you were talking about the sizzling bacon candy, I thought to myself, you know what? I don't know how many episodes we have included a bacon fact. I know it's a lot and it is most episodes. And my hat is off to you because it is hard on a weekly basis to come up with a unique bacon fact that you have never found before, that you have never heard from us, and sizzling bacon candy definitely fits the bill.
There have been a couple times where I thought I can probably just recycle one, but I have never, ever done that. I have not done it. But yeah, if you just Google unique bacon facts, if you Google something a lot, sometimes you'll see like you visited this page X number of times, and pretty much pages like 1 through 4 of just Googling bacon is all taken up.
Yes. Well, I tell you who's been taken up before, but has always been willing to talk to us, and we're excited to finally have him here on the podcast is Blake Corum. Please enjoy the conversation that I've had with Blake Corum. Joining us on In the Trenches today, as promised, is one of the running backs, one of the many running backs, but the reportedly speediest running back that we have, and that is Blake Corum. Blake, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I appreciate it.
How are you enjoying? I know that everybody's off for the month of May, which doesn't mean you don't get to work out. It just means that you don't have to go to Schembechler Hall. How are you enjoying a few moments to yourself?
You know, it feels great to you know, get away, get back to the family, you know, spend some time with my sisters and get back to, you know, the trainers that helped me get the position I'm in. It's going pretty good.
Last year was such a unusual year. It's probably the nicest way I can say it, but I'm sure a lot of stress, a lot of everything. Is this the first time you've had a chance to spend any length of time with your family?
Yeah, this is probably the longest amount of time I spent with my family in probably a year. Which feels good, you know, but I'm only here for a week, and then it's time to get back to business, and I can't wait.
And that business, obviously, is training, and I want to talk to you about that in just a minute because I, as I understand it, and I've seen your work, that's one of your favorite things. But what did you learn about yourself throughout the football season last year? And I don't mean in terms of the pandemic because there's so much about that, but as a high school athlete, most of us that went to Michigan were probably the best on our football team. We were the best at what we did in a lot of things growing up. And then when you get to Michigan, you're put into a room and you were with Zach, with Hassan, with a number of really good running backs. What did you learn about yourself and your level of competition throughout the course of getting on campus and last football season?
Well, I learned that, you know, it's bigger than football. Like everyone that's on the team, they can play football. It comes down to what your IQ is like. Can you read the defenses? Can you read the over and under fronts? Can you tell which blitzes are coming? And so that's where I had to go with it. I knew I could play. I knew, I had speed, I had power. But I feel like I was lacking the IQ part. And so I really took time and got in the classroom, really just understanding everything from a student of the game.
When you look at that time spent in the classroom, it's sometimes hard to see that as part of training. How hard was it for you to realize or to just have the discipline to be able to sit there and watch film and pick up defenses and listen to the calls and make the calls?
Oh, you know, with everything, it takes time. But when you put your all into something, you can pick it up kind of fast. So me going in the classroom, dang near every day, benefited me in the off season, after the season, during the season, after the season, in the spring. And I can definitely tell a big difference in my game just by being able to read the defense.
How was spring ball, knowing that you've had those 15 practices, obviously ending in the game that you guys had, the spring game that you guys had in the Big House? How beneficial was that for you guys, especially for your class that you mentioned? You only had those three spring practices back in 2020. It was canceled. Right. How beneficial was that for you guys this year?
It was huge. The football aspect was huge, but really just the bonding and us being able to come together as a team and just going to practice. All right, now we're going to go watch our film. What can we correct? We're going to bring that to the next practice. It was just huge all over, especially because we have some early enrollees this year. So that allowed them to get a glimpse of how much faster college is than high school. And it allowed us to bond together and literally tell each other what we want the outcome to be this year.
In that room, obviously Hassan's in there, you're in there, and you mentioned a couple of young guys. It's a full room with a lot of talent. And I know that you develop friendships because you see these guys every day. You go out to practice, you're in class, you do everything together, and you really develop some tight bonds and some tight friendships. How do you handle competing with your friends?
I'm a competitor. Not just on the football field, but in life. So I'm competing no matter what. But, you know, nothing is taken personal. We want to make sure we're getting the best. As iron sharpens iron. So we're going to get better every day. We're going to push each other to the max. And at the end of the day, we're here for each other. We're family. So that's the way I look at it. And I feel like that's the way the rest of the RBs look at it. If anyone has a question, we come to each other and we figure it out.
Is college football, having spent now one season, albeit unique, it is still a full college football season, is it what you expected it to be when you stepped foot on campus?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew coming in, it was just, I was going to have to work. And, I feel like I've always had to work for everything I've earned. So it wasn't what I expected it to be. You know, I expected everyone to be fast. I expected everyone to be big. And so it was everything I expected for real.
So you took me there. I'm gonna bite. I'm gonna take the advantage to ask this question. You expected everybody to be fast. And one thing that we've heard about you in high school in recruiting was your speed. Josh Gattis, after having you on campus for just a little bit, he mentioned your speed, and he threw out a time of about 4.4 in the 40. How fast are you? Do you know what your 40 time is right now?
I don't quite know what my 40 time is. I believe it's faster than a 4.4 right now, just from me working out and how explosive I feel. I believe probably if I was running a 40, it'd be in the 4.3 range.
All right. So I want to interrupt you right there. So now that you've said, and you've set that standard for yourself, that's your expectation. I know right. you guys, because you mentioned this, you compete with your teammates, you compete with yourself. Do you guys talk about who the fastest on the team is?
You know, we talk about it here and there when we work out. We never really get the race unless it's in practice and there's a big play or long play and we're all running. But we never really get on the line and race. But, you know, we bicker about who's the fastest. It's all fun and game.
So give us the scouting report then. If you were to put your hand in the dirt and you had three or four guys next to you that you said, hey, if I can beat these guys, I think I'd be the fastest on the team. Who's your best – who's your toughest competition?
Toughest competition is probably Iman, which is a corner in my class, Dax. And probably Roman Wilson. Probably the two Green brothers. They're pretty fast.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep an eye out, see if that competition ever happens. I'd love to see that. That sounds like a pretty fast group. But I mentioned earlier, you one of the things also, other than your speed, is your capacity for work, the workload that you put your body through. You know, why such the workout warrior? What is the benefit for you? What do you look to get out of it every time you go in the weight room?
Every time I enter the weight room or workout, I look to empty my tank. And that's just, you know, getting everything out of it. And that's how I've been my whole life. That's how my parents raised me. If you're going to do something, give it everything you have. And so whether it be, you know, working out, classroom, it doesn't matter. I'm going to try emptying my tank. And I fell in love with the weight room. I saw what it did for me. And how I felt when my body started changing, and I just fell in love with it.
What's your favorite workout, or maybe even your favorite exercise? When you're in the weight room, you think, you know what, this is my strongest, this is my best, this is my favorite.
Probably my rear foot elevated, the split squat. I feel like I'm pretty strong. I love leg day, so rear foot elevated, split squat, and I like hitting the back. I like back workout. I feel like I'm pretty strong. One of my strongest workouts is probably the bench press. I can put a good amount of weight up on the bench press.
All right. When you're done working out, obviously we talked about the film. We talked about the workout. We mentioned spring ball. What are the expectations that you have for yourself as you approach the summer and fall camp here this year?
My expectations is just to get better every day. Whether it be in the weight room, on the field, in the classroom, just to get 1% better every day. And once I get better every day, at the end of the summer, when the camp starts and in the camp, I feel like there's going to be a good outcome and I'll put all the work I put in. And so that's my expectations, just get better every day, strive to be great, and give everything I have.
Mike Hart was brought in as the new running backs coach. When you heard that Coach Harbaugh had hired Mike Hart, what was your initial response?
I believe I was in the car when the coach called me and told me what he was about to do. And I was excited. I had a big grin on my face. I think my mom was driving. We were going somewhere. And I told mom, I was like, hey, mom, we just got Mike Hart. And I called my dad. I said, Dad, we just got Mike Hart. So I was excited. You know, I know Coach Mike Hart from high school in the recruitment process. And I know what he did at Michigan was huge. And just to be able to learn from him, you know, a smaller running back, but didn't have no fear. Just wanted to attack everything. Just learning from him has been great so far, and I can't wait to keep learning from him.
How do you feel that you best fit into this offense? Because we hear about your ability to get to the edge, and I talk about this all the time. When, you know, and you started off the season with a 24-yard reception, and that explosion, that speed, that's when you get to the second level, you're gone. What is it that you feel like you really bring to this offense?
I feel like I bring an all-around back. You know, a lot of people say, you know, give me to the edge, or put me in the slot. But really, I feel like I can run right up the middle. You know, I can find those holes. I can get skinny. I can break tackles. I can block. I feel like I'm all around back. So wherever the coaches feel, they want to use me, whatever plays, outside zone, inside zone, pass protection. I feel like they can use me anywhere on the field, and I'm going to give it everything I have wherever I'm at. And so that's the type of player I feel like I bring to the table.
You mentioned blocking. Pass protection. This has become such a pass-happy game, not just in the NFL, but obviously in college football as well.
Right.
What are the difficulties in pass protecting as a running back?
I feel like really just knowing who the lineman has, you know, who's the point, and knowing and just studying during the week what blitzes the team may bring. And so once you get an idea of what blitzes they may bring and where the center's pointing the ball. You have at that time, there's only probably like two guys that had the possibility of coming. And once you figure that out, I feel like it makes the game way easier. And then it's just about, you know, holding your ground, knowing whether you're going to cut the blocker or, you know, stand them up.
How excited are you to, and we don't know if it's going to be a possibility. I think there's going to be more, at a minimum, there's going to be more fans than we had last year. But the prospect of having a 111,000 people in the Big House when Western Michigan comes to town, how excited are you to see that and be a part of that?
Oh, man, it brings a smile to my face. God willing that, you know, we can pack the stadium out and we can show the fans what all the work we've been putting in this offseason and we'll continue to put in and put on a great show.
You mentioned the personal goals, the expectations you have for yourself. Before I let you go, what are the expectations that you guys talk about as a team? What do you think you can accomplish this year?
You know, I feel like as a team and what we've been talking about this spring, anything we put our mind to, we can accomplish as long as we come together and on the same page and communicate. And so the way I feel about our team right now, we're brothers, but, you know, we really bonded this spring, and I feel like it was needed. And so, you know, we're going in, we're going to win. And we're not going to win, we're going to beat them pretty bad. And that's the mindset I feel like we have and we have to have going into this season, that no one can stop us. The only people that can stop us is ourselves, and we're not going to let that happen. I feel like that's the mindset, and that's the expectation, is just win.
Michigan running back Blake Corms joined us today on In the Trenches. And Blake, before I let you go, I know that you're at home in Northern Virginia. I spent a few days there, a few years there, when I played for the football team there in Washington. Is there a place that you think, hey, I've got to go eat here before I leave and go back to Ann Arbor? What's the favorite watering hole for Blake Corm?
This is a barbecue place, a barbecue truck, may I say. It sits on the side of the road out in Aldi. You know, I think they have the best barbecue around. You know, get a good barbecue sandwich or a turkey wing or something. And they have some good barbecue, and that's the place I would recommend. It's a barbecue truck out in Aldi, Virginia, and it's great.
Well, I tell you what, if I get back out there was a barbecue place in Leesburg when I was there, and it was was an old fuselage, and they called it was small, so they call it the Mighty Midget Kitchen, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but that'd be my place. I will definitely run out to Aldi next time I'm there to try out your food truck and see how they compare. But hey, thanks for joining us today. Look forward to getting back on campus and looking forward to see what happens this fall.
I appreciate it. Go Blue.
Well, as always, we want to thank our guests. Today it was Blake Corum for giving of his time. I know that they're off for the month of May, and he's always been willing to talk to us, been willing to talk to me, and I am I'm very fortunate to be able to get a chance to talk to the players, the coaches, and, as always, our very own Brian Bush. And if you want to hear more of Brian Bush, you can find him on Defend the Block. This week, Kerry Moore, the new women's basketball assistant coach, as well as C.J. Baird, Michigan legend, Michigan basketball tournament legend, now former Wolverine. You can find that on Defend the Block, as well as Conquering Heroes. I had a chance to sit down with head coach of the rowing program, Mark Rothstein, as they prepare for Big Ten championships this weekend and at the end of the month, NCAA championships. And we'll bring you the results of those on Conquering Heroes, as well as more basketball information on Defend the Block. But if you want to stay in touch with what's going on in the football program, time. Stay tuned in here on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.